Okay, so we're going to, today we're going to take on the packed sugya, really a loaded sugya, on Ayin Zayin and Beis and Bav Metzia. And it starts with Lichi D'Tanya. Say it's about 12 lines down or so. And so the context is, actually, Mr. Curley pointed out before, this is sort of not the topic of our perek, which is mostly dealing with employee-employer relationships. This is sort of a completely different circumstance, but there is a brisa, which has a tradition, I would say, that when the Mishnah said, "Kol achozbo yadol ha'tatona," anybody who retracts from the deal, they have the lower hand, so it refers to a completely different case, right? Like Tanya. What does it mean, anybody who retracts? A person sells a field to his friend for 1,000 zuz. And he partially pays for that field. So, essentially the point here is, an interesting din, that at least at this point in the brisa, if I pay partially for a field, I don't pay the amount in full when I buy it. So I do have an option in some cases to buy it partially, which is in and of itself interesting. You read this Gemara, and the first thing you ask is that necessarily, you know, it makes sense? Meaning, if I stipulate a price and you don't pay me for it, it's not simple, not so obvious that I should get part of the product. Maybe I should get none of it. You know, you buy the whole thing or buy none of it. But here, so there is this option. So it says that, but the options will depend upon who is the one that's backing out. Meaning, you know, if I'm only buying part of the field, so that means that somebody's deciding they're not going to complete the sale. So if the mocher is the one who says, you know what, I don't want to sell you the rest of it anymore. I want to only sell you part of it. Ratz omer lo tain li mo'osai. So okay, I could say, give me my money back. Oh, tain li karka kenegan mo'osai. Or he could say, give me karka. Give me the commensurate amount of land that I paid for. And where does he get that from? We'll go back in a second. Where does he collect from? From the best, the finest properties that the mocher has. Then the mocher has the upper hand. He could say, take your money back. You know what? If you're not willing to pay for the entirety of the sale, then I'm not willing to sell you any of it, and you could take your money. I'm getting the whole land back. Ratzo Omer, Helach Karka Kenega Mo'osecha. Mechamabio Menaziboris. Or he could say, take the amount of a karka that you agreed to take. And he gives him from the worst of his properties. Okay. So just stopping here for a second. So we have this interesting case. What's fascinating is that on the one hand, again, you have this partial kinyan, this partial acquisition of a land that you agreed to buy all of, and that works. That being said, you have the opportunity to be chozer in some circumstances. It sounds like the mocher and the lokeach are backing out of what they already paid for. So that's interesting. Meaning, usually, if I buy something, I can't back out of it afterward. So assuming that the keseth, the partial keseth that I gave to the mocher, is a kinyan, it is a bit surprising that I can then renege on the agreement and say, you know what, I don't really want to buy it anymore.
Are we assuming that Kesef was a kinyan?
Okay, so that's a good question. And that we'll get into a bit later. That's a good question.
Presumably that's the only thing.
We know that Kesef is Konish. So that's a good point. A good point. In this segment, there's like a lot of different factors, and so we have to focus on what we know and then build from that. So all we know in this case is that the guy gave money. Money, kesef is a kinyan on karka. Now, you could argue, well, again, what's interesting, though, just given the facts that we have so far, what's interesting is that although kesef is a kinyan, kesef is a kinyan usually when you give the entirety of the kesef. So if the price was 1,000, the kinyan kesef should be 1,000. It shouldn't be 200. So we had this sort of middle category. Just pointing that out. Now, I'll elaborate in a minute. Fine. So let's just read the entirety of the brisa, maybe just so we get everything on the table. So that's what he says. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Malam and Osan Shlo Yachzeru. Shimon Gamliel says, no. You teach them not to be hoser. They shouldn't be hoser. So don't leave it in this sort of quasi middle ground, you know, no man's land where you own part of the land, not the rest of the land, you own money. That's not a good idea. So he says, no, don't do that. Kitza, kosiloni, ploni, ben ploni, mahardi, set up ploni, set up ploni, balasuz, benasali, mehem, masan, zuzri, nojibo, chesneos, zuz. Right, so eventually what happens here? So you say, I'm giving you the whole field, you only pay for part of it, so now the whole thing is yours, the whole land is yours, and the rest of it, the rest of the money, is a loan. And that's what Rabbi Shingam Leal says. Don't, unlike, so we have, again, so far we've had this brisa, we've had the first opinion, which is that whoever backs out gets the upper hand, meaning there is either going to be a partial sale, or you know nothing. He'll back out completely. Those are the two options on the table. That's the first part of this brisa, and the choice depends upon who was the one that backed out. And then the second part is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, instead of doing that, don't make it a partial sale. It's going to cause an argument. You know, it's better that let's have the whole thing be sold right away, and the rest of it is a chov. So both of these independent, these steps of the brisa are their own independent topics that need to be elaborated on. The first thing the Gemara elaborates on is the first part of the brisa, where you're getting part of the land. So Gemara continues, Amar Mar Mehecham Abiyam Reides. So Mar says that in the case where the mocher is chozer, again, so the mocher sold the field, he said for 1,000 zuz, the lokeach bought part of it, and the mocher says, you know what, I want out, forget this. You know, I don't want to do business with you anymore. So we said then the lokeach gets to choose, and if he chooses to get the land that he paid for, then he gets the best property. So the Gemara says, so could this be from the best of all of his properties, right? So this guy owns land in 5 different areas. You know, let's say, you know, he owns in a very nice area where the property is worth a very high value, and then he owns in like a sort of, you know, middle income area where it's worth another amount, and then he owns in this other area which is low income and not the best quality of land. So then the Gemara sounds like, regardless of where you sold him the land, the lokeach gets the best of all 3 properties. So let's say lokeach bought the middle category of the land, right? He bought it in the middle income area, which is a certain quality of land. And now that was the field he agreed to buy, and the mocher backed out of that. So it sounds like, says the Gemara, because the mocher backed out of this arrangement, the lokeach can now take the equivalent of his money from the best property, right? Like in Beverly Hills or whatever. And that's where he gets his equivalent. So why is that? Says, I don't understand. The lo yehe el ba'al chov. He shouldn't even be a ba'al chov. A Baal Chov gets Benonis, right? Meaning, at the best, and at the very best. Now, what do we have now? We have a Lokeach. Lokeach is owed land, or potentially money, depending on the case, right? We have the Mocher agreed to sell him land. Now, he backed out of it. Lokeach has already given the Mocher money. So, whatever the Lokeach is owed, he should be like a debtor. Any case, and when I lend somebody money and they don't pay me back and they don't have any money, let's say, I get to collect not from the best of their property, I get to collect from the middle ground property, the intermediate property, right? So why should he get it? Is number one, question number one. Question two, ha'ara di of zuze, meaning it doesn't make any sense. I paid for the lands in, you know, middle income area. I don't know, what's a good middle income area? Let me help me out over here.
Washington.
No, definitely not a good example.
Like pay more.
Passaic. I'll take something from Canada. I don't know.
Nothing's well, not Toronto.
Hamilton. I paid for property in Hamilton. and you backed out of it. So now you're going to give me like a nice, you know, house in Thornhill? Like, doesn't make any sense. Okay, so I didn't pay for that. You're going to punish, you could punish the guy who sold it, but at least give him.
We're talking about something that's worth an equivalent amount.
It's going to be the equivalent amount. You're right. Yeah, 100%, 100%. You're right, but still, the Gemara has
a smaller house in Thornhill.
But the assumption is that you'd rather have...
Yeah, if you had a mansion in Hamilton.
Right, yeah. The assumption is you'd rather have a less... smaller quantity of more valuable property. That's just a going assumption in most Gemaras. You'd rather have less Ittis than more Ziboris. Right. So the question is...
With Field, it actually is easier.
Field is easier, okay. Yeah. But I can't really give any examples of like high-quality fields. Whatever. The point is that you'd rather have more. So why, if I didn't pay for that field, why am I getting it? It doesn't make any sense. So...
Plus, the boy presumably doesn't want to sell it.
Of course he doesn't want to, but okay. So here's the thing. So here in I think here it's worth asking a fundamental question, and I think the Rishonim do actually give their take on this, and it has a few ramifications. And that is, again, we had this unique sort of middle ground where, on the one hand, I paid for a part of the field, but I paid a sum of money for land. But that sum wasn't the agreed amount upon sum that was in, you know, our agreement. Meaning, you agreed to sell me a bigger land for more money, and I didn't pay you it. And it sounds like, on the one hand, in some cases, that will result in a acquisition whereby I get that land, yet the mocher gets to retract. So the question is there a kinyan on the ground or not? When I pay for half of the field, did I acquire half that field already, and that's what happened? And if that is what happened, so then I should get whatever I bought. I should get that chelek in it. And then, if you think about the Gemara's second question, it makes a lot of sense. Meaning, why would I get a property of land I didn't pay for? It doesn't make any sense. I should get the best, or the middle of, the property that I actually paid for. That's one type of question. That's one perspective on this case, is that there is a kinyan on the ground, and, you know, the question is exactly how it plays out in terms of, you know, what quality of land you get. The other perspective is really that no, because again, you didn't agree to buy $200 worth of land. You agreed to buy it with $1,000 worth of land. So if that's the case, then there's no kinyan. There's nothing. Nothing happened. You just gave him kesef, but that wasn't a kinyan kesef. That was just money. You paid. It's a partial payment, but that is not a kinyan. If so, then what is? Why am I getting anything? Well, because the other guy was chozer. We agreed to a sale. We made an agreement. I gave you kesef. I started paying you, and all of a sudden you're backing out. So the rabbanon say, so your punishment for that is
more of like a consolation,
right? Whatever the person who stuck to the deal gets to choose.
We're going to weren't owning any land with what you paid. It's just like as a consolation, you'll get.
In this case, we're only getting, as you know, in this case, we're only getting part of it. But right, you're not really kona. And then, but Chazar are warning you. You know what? Because the mocher backed out, you have to give him edus. That's what you have to give him. That's your punishment. Even though you wanted to sell him more than that, or you were going to sell him another part of the land, doesn't matter. We're punishing you. So then, if you look at the answers in the Gemara, it sort of reflects, I think, these two points, right? So the first answer is, No. You misunderstood it. Again, let's say the case where the mocher is chozer, and the lokeach is going to get edus, he doesn't get the best property that the mocher owns. He gets the best part of the property that he agreed to buy. That's all. We're not. I don't mean all of edus and achasav. Okay. So that in and of itself may be a chiddush still, but there the Gemara is saying you bought the field, right? This option reflects the perspective that there was a kinyan already when I gave my 200 zuz. I was kone the field, and there is a kinyan, and therefore I get the best of this property. That's one perspective. No, really, it's not true. Even though I only paid for you know, field A, if field B is more valuable and the mocher was choser, I get the equivalent amount to what I paid in field B. Why? Because the mocher is like a mazik, or whoever's choser is like a mazik. Because when you buy a very expensive field, so usually people will not have the money to just give that down payment. They'll need to sell other properties, and maybe even at a bad value, and lose money on other deals in order to accumulate enough funds to buy the property in question. So think of the case. I wanted to buy your very valuable 1,000 zuz field. I didn't have the money for it. So I sold this field for a little bit. I sold that field for a little bit. I sold this property for 100, for 200. And those weren't the greatest deals, but I needed the money. But it was worth it to buy your big field. Now all of a sudden you're going to back out on me. So that's like a mazik. You do damage me. You caused me a loss. You caused me to make acquisitions that were not beneficial to me, and that hurt my financial standing. And for that, you were treated like a mazik halachically, and therefore I get to appraise the best of your property. Now, this perspective, I would argue, reflects the fact that no, there was no kinyan here necessarily. You're not bound specifically to the property that you purchased. Rather, what's happening here is a knas. You're like a mazik, right? That the mocher damaged you, and Tosos points out that it's not. Tosos points out that it's not actual damage. And we saw the Riva before, who says that it would be grumma at best, right? I caused you to make an unwise financial decision. That's not something I'm liable for. But we're treating it as damage in terms of the fact that you inconvenienced me, and therefore I get to choose the best part of the property. So you could then suggest that when the lokeah pays for some of the property, there is no real kinyan. You can't do a partial kinyan kesef. You have to pay the whole kesef, or it's an all-or-nothing proposition. There is no real kinyan. However, because the mocher retracted, we give the lokeah a choice to either choose land or to choose his money back. Okay. Now, a few comments about this topic. So, one point is the Gemara here gives two answers, right? Either I get the lokeach gets the best, the lokeach lamocher get the best or the worst of that property that was agreed upon, or all the properties. These are two completely different answers, right? They're not. The question is halacha, like practically, which one do we hold of? So it's interesting that the Ramban, or rather the Rive and the Baal Maor, and I'm sure other Mefarshim, all both say that this is not an argument. It depends on the size of the property. Meaning, if it was a small, comparatively cheap property, then you get the middle. Then you get the Idis and Ziboris of that property itself. Because then there is no reason to assume that you're like a mazik. If I'm buying a small property, I didn't need to go and sell a lot of things to accumulate the right amount of funds, and therefore you're stuck to that property. However, if you're buying a big property, then we can apply the mazik logic of it. So they assume that both answers are correct. However, the Rush only quotes the second answer of the Gemara. The Rush quotes that you're getting Idin and Ziboris, or the Idis of all the Nechasim. And I didn't see it inside, actually, but the Gra quotes the Rambam, who argues and only quotes the first answer, that you're only going to get of that property, that these answers are actually arguing. And again, you could argue that they reflect these two perspectives on whether or not there was a Kinyan.
If there's a Kenyan, you get, let's say, the either Shabbat.
Correct. That's what I would argue. Now, on this, so to step back for a second and just to analyze that, why would you say there was a Kenyan? So I think it depends on two things. Number one, it depends on Kenyan Kesef generally. When I buy a land from you that is divisible, do we view that as if I'm buying, like, you know, 100 acres and 100 acres of land means I'm buying 1 acre of land, also 2 acres of land, also 3 acres of land, and also 4 acres of land. I'm buying all of those and I'm paying for all of them, essentially. And they haven't all been next to each other, but I'm buying 100 different acres of land. Or do we say, no, a kinyan kesef is sort of an all or nothing proposition. We view this as one unit. The karka is one unit of land. Either I'm buying it or not. You can't break that up. There's no such thing as buying part of it if you agreed upon the whole thing. It's one entity. It's one unit. And so you can't buy some of it, essentially. Now, another, just a few other places to refine this. So I'll mention the Ritva just says explicitly that really what we have here is that the idea of Ya Mochra Yona, Ya Lokeach Yona, that either the Lokeach gets the upper hand of the steel or the Mochra gets the upper hand of the steel, is essentially there is a kinyan here. Really, what should happen in a case where you pay for part of the land is that you should get that part of the land and the rest you don't buy. That's what should happen here. However, since the mocher or the lokeach were choser, so they get a knas. They're penalized because they backed out of this deal. And so therefore, the chazal gave alternative options. So that even the lokeach should really have to buy a certain part of the field, and actually in the Ritva's opinion, he should get me'ikar adin, he should get the worst part of the field that he paid for. Since he was sort of wrong and the mocher backed out of it, so then he gets to choose to maybe get his money back. He has other alternative options, and the same with the mocher, right? So again, clearly assumes that there is a partial kinyan here. Another example that you have of this, I think it's also if you look at Tosos, but there's an argument between the Ramban and the Baal Ma'or, which is as follows. What happens in the case where the mocher is chozer? The mocher is chozer on the acquisition, and the lokeach decides that he wants to buy a chelek of the land, commensurate with the amount of money he gave to the mocher. What is the halacha in that situation? So the Ramban says that what?
Shockingly.
Yeah, the Ramban says that you get the same that any person who buys part of a land would get. This is a regular, again, consistent with the shita that this is a kinyan. So just like in another case, if I, let's say, went to Natana and Natana owed a big property and I bought part of that property, but not all of it, and that's what we agreed upon, right? This is no one changing anyone's mind. I get kachush. I get the worst part of that property. That's the halacha. But it's not specified. So that's the same thing here. The lokeach does not get itis what he's looking to do is buy part of the property. It's like any other case in which you buy property in a greater land, you get the worst part of the property if you don't specify which part you get. It's essentially hamotzi mechaver lavaraya, right? I own the land currently. You bought some of it. You didn't specify which part. So I'm going to choose which part that you get. The Baal Ma'or argues. The Baal Ma'or says that no. When the Gemara says magbio mina idis, it means that the lokeach gets the best part of that property. That I would get the best part of your land. That's what I would get. The Ramban has to say that's not what it means. What it means is that if the lokeach wants his money back and the mocher doesn't have money, therefore the lokeach gets to go collect from the mocher's possessions, and in that case he gets from itis. But if I actually buy the land, there's a kinyan here. So again, according to the Ramban, this is a regular kinyan of kesef of a karka. According to the Baal Ma'or, it's not. And therefore you get tziburis. Correct. According to the Baal Ma'or, that's not the case. It is not a regular kinyan. This is a unique case where there was no kinyan because you backed out of it and Chazal are awarding you more money and a better deal and you get it is. So
that seems like a simpler remark.
It does. Now the Ramban is bothered because they find their diukin because they say magbio mehechan magbio. Where do you collect it from? The idea of collecting you wouldn't say if I buy property from you and you're giving me what I bought from. It's not collecting. It's getting what I bought. And Rabban makes a diak in Rashi. Rashi says chovo. Chovo sounds like an obligation. An obligation means something that I owe you. I don't owe you a karka. I bought the karka from you. If I'm asking for my money back and you don't have money, that's a chov. And so,
even if you're willing to give me back the money, the lekev said, "No, I'm not interested. I want land."
Well, it depends who's chozer.
Yeah, no, the moicher was chozer.
So lokal can say that, correct?
So in this last case, he said if he has the money, he can give him back.
Right. So the gemara again. The gemara gives. Bryce says lokal has two options in a case the moicher was chozer. Now, that's interesting. So the question is, why does he have those two options? The question is, where are you coming from? Should he not have any options and just get the karka? Or should he, you know, have whoever be able to back out completely because no kingdom is made? That's sort of what I'm asking. Do we view the karka as one unit or divisible units? From the simple explanation of the Gemara, what Rav Alex is saying is that if you would have looked at this braisa, you would have thought, yes, Lokeach always has those options. He always can either get the karka or the kesef, and not only that, he will get the best of the karka. The Ramban says that when you choose to buy karka, what you're essentially agreeing to is a partial sale of the field, like any other partial sale. It's essentially as if you went to the mocher and said, I'd like to buy a part of your field, and not the whole thing. And in that case, the halacha is that you get the worst property. Okay, so that's the first part of the sugya then is just generally when you're only holding on to part of this field. However, the other part of the sugya gets your shem gamliel. So let's focus on that for the remainder of our time. So we're not gonna read the whole thing inside necessarily because it's a bit long. But the Gemara says as follows, right? In the first version of this brisa, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, no, it's not a good idea to sort of leave the land in this no man's land status where some, you know, the mocher owns part of it, lokech owns part of it, but he still owes him money. It's not a good situation, and it's going to cause an argument, you know, I want the land, no, I don't want the land. Let's not do that. Rather, it's better that you lokech gets the whole thing right away because that's what they agreed upon, and he'll pay the rest back later. But in our first version of the Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that you have to actually write a contract. Meaning, as it stands on the ground, Lokeach will not acquire the entirety of the property. Well, Mocher has to actively state that I am selling you the entire land, and the rest of the sum is going to be a loan, a halva. The Gemara brings another Braisa, however, which states that Rav Shimon Gamliel generally just says, when I pay partially for a land, I own the whole thing and the rest is a halva. I don't specifically need to write a shtar halva on the rest of the sum. So the Gemara says, which is it? I don't understand. When I pay for part of the land, do I automatically get the entirety of the land and the rest just ends up being a loan? Or do I not? Do we say, no, you get what you pay for, and that's it. And then you can choose how to proceed based on the previous braisa. And the Gemara says it depends. And a very interesting thing. So it says, if you look here, we'll skip to Lo Kasha. It's actually, I don't know, I'd say about 10 lines up, the last word in the line. Lo Kasha. Hodika Ayel Benafika Zuze. Hodika Ayel Benafika Zuze. No, it depends. Depends as follows. If the mocher does this thing called ayel benafik azuze, which means he actively pursues the money. So, we have different opinions about what this is, which we'll discuss in a minute. But let's say the mocher says, you know, he sells the field for 1,000, and the lokeach gave him 200. Good, that was in the morning. That night, the mocher goes, knocks on the door, says, okay, you have my 800? Where's my 800? You have it already? Lokeach says, no, I don't have it yet. I'm sorry, we agreed, I only have 200. Fine, an hour later, he knocks on the door again. Okay, where's my 800? So if he does that, so then status quo is that there is no deal. Status quo is that Lokeach does not own the rest of the property. And then we revert back to the different conditions in the Braisa. Was the Mocher Chozer, was Lokeach Chozer. right? Why? Because if the mocher pursues lokeach for the rest of the money, he's demonstrating, and we'll have to think about the mechanics of it specifically in just a minute, he's demonstrating that the money, the entirety of the money, was very important to him. He needs the money now up front, and if he doesn't get it, he didn't want to sell the field in such a situation. That would be the simple explanation.
I was just thinking now, why would he then give over the property and have the lokeach pay in installments? He wants the money right now, so just
what do you mean?
Up front.
So he's not going to get... Okay, so if he's Av Nathan Kazuze, generally, he's Av Nathan Kazuze, so what happens is he's saying, I don't want to give you my whole land for only part of it.
Right.
That's essentially what he's saying. If I'm going to sell you this large piece of property, $1,000 or 1,000 zuzes is a pretty significant amount, I am not willing to do that unless you're going to pay me the entirety up front. Now, let's say, and if he does that, let's say that's the case, and lokeach just doesn't have the money. So
but for
then,
the time being, lokeach is using the land.
No, so that's not what would happen. For the time being, if he's I have another guy who's using right now, right? Okay, what point are you asking me?
He's assuming there's installments going on. He's assuming the guy's paying you, let's say, a month later.
Right.
I mean, that's what you said. So.
Right. And now the mocher is going, do you have my 1,000 zuz?
Right, so that's already going to get to the Rive versus the, let's say, the Rabbeinu Hanana. But, because
right,
I don't want to actually talk about that yet. We can mention it. But
if it's a choy, then presumably he bought all
that. Why?
Because it's a choy, otherwise it's...
Okay, so the question is, let's say a simple case, okay? The case is, it was that day, we agreed to the sale, I said, I only have $200 on me, he says, okay, but I want the rest of the money, and I really need the money, and then lokeach goes home, he's like, great, he makes a whole suda, I'm so happy, I brought this wonderful piece of property, and then mocher knocks on the door, okay, you had $800? I don't actually, I'll get back to you in an hour, and he's bothering him. So at that point, assuming that the mocher doesn't write out a contract stipulating that you get the whole thing right now and the rest of it is a chov, at that point, the sale is sort of kaput.
We're not assuming the lokeach is using it in some way?
For that day? What was bothering you?
Again, the simple pshat, he's just saying, assume for a moment like the Rabbeinu Hanana. That's
yeah.
Not an issue.
The same day.
Once we get to the Rive,
we can start talking about it.
Okay, fine.
And then it would be the same question you asked me in Seder, or it's just a question of what happens when a sale retroactively
right.
becomes null and void. What happens to the usage in the meanwhile? But I mean, that's the case. So once I do that and that becomes clear, then there's no kinyan on the rest of the karka, and then it depends. So now the status quo would be, okay, I have paid you for $200 worth of the field. Now what do we do? And then it depends who is deciding that they don't want to go further with it. Okay. So that would be generally. So again, that's where the Gemara, the Braisa says that if you're Ayel Benafik Azuzeh, the Mocher is actively pursuing the money, so then, in order for it to be a complete acquisition of the property, the Lokeach would need to write out a Shtar Halva, the Mocher would need to write out a Shtar Halva, stipulating that I am giving you the whole field now, and the rest of the money is a Halva. However, if he's not Ayav Nathan Kazuze, meaning the Mocher, again, what happened was Mocher, let's say, pretty chilled out, and he's a very willing seller, and he says, look, I don't need the money right now, but, you're going to pay me $1,000, sis. Okay, I says, yeah, no problem, but I only have $200, okay, sounds good. And he gives him the $200, and Mocher says, okay, fine, you can pay me back whenever you have a chance. So then the Lokeach gets the whole property right now, even though he paid for part of it, without any other stipulation, that's assumed, and the rest is a halva. That is what the Gemara says. And the Gemara then, just to read a little bit further, and then we'll take a step back and analyze for the rest of our time. So the Gemara says as follows. How do we know, where do we see this idea of actively pursuing the money from a sale has this effect on the sale? Marava, Haiman de Ose Meaz, oh, this is sort of a different thing. A person sells something to his friend, and he is actively pursuing the money. Lokani, the lokeach is not a kone; it is not a kinyan. Lo kaim nafek mizbezei koni. But if the mocher is actively pursuing the money, and he says, pay me back whatever, then it is a kinyan. Right? Again, obviously, so now this is a pretty general statement regarding all kinyanim. It sounds like that, again, in a case where the money isn't paid up front, whether or not that will be a kinyan which is binding depends upon whether or not the mocher, the seller, is actively pursuing the remainder of the payment. So taking two steps, so there's two, now even at this point, there are two things to analyze. Take it in a simple case. Let's say not I have enough azuze. Let's say it's not the case. The mocher is giving the purchaser as much time as he or she needs to buy the rest of this field. The Gemara tells me that is a kinyon. I get the whole karka, the whole thing, not just what I paid for, all of it. That is fascinating. How is that so? Why is that so? Why would a partial payment be kona a whole field? So, if you look in Rashi, and you look in the Ritva, who takes this even a step further, I think it's worth pointing out, they say that the way it works is that essentially the mocher receives the amount the lokeach paid for, and the rest of it, he says, I'm viewing it as if you gave it to me already. It's ki'ilu his kabalti. And I'm, I guess, sort of halachically receiving a payment. And the rest of this, and now I'm lending you the money again. And so at this point, all you owe me is a loan, which is almost completely separate from the actual sale of the land. And so this idea of kilu hiskabalti, of accepting a payment of something that is owed to you, is a form of kesef, or is sufficient to complete the kinyan kesef. And therefore, says Rashi, that karka nignes bekesef, it's as if you paid for the entirety of the field, and you're kona the whole field. So it works through this idea of kilu hiskabalti, the mocher accepting partial payment as an entire payment, almost like a mechila. Okay, so the Ritva, I'll add, even takes it a whole step further. Ritva says that even if he paid for none of it, so the mocher says he's going to sell a field for $1,000. Lokeach has none of it up front. $0.00. He's got, you know, I'd love to, you know, imagine it makes a lot of sense, right? You're like, I have this really wonderful property. Would you like to buy it? Sure. How much do you have right now? $0. Okay, no problem. And he says, fine, so here, just you get the land and I'll give you a contract. And now you owe me the price. That also works as a Riva. That's efficient. The acceptance of the chov by the lokeach on the mocher is enough for a kinyan. So this idea of using essentially the acceptance of a chov upon yourself as a kinyan is a controversial one, right? I'm not going to get into the whole thing now, but there's a sugya about mekadesh b'milveh. It says in the Gemara, mekadesh b'milveh ein mekudeshes, that if you betroth a woman by essentially accepting a chov and saying, I'm going to pay you back, whatever, later, so that's not mikudesha. So there's an argument amongst Rishonim what exactly that means. It could be what it means is a prior obligation. What it's simply saying is that the women, let's say, borrowed money from the chasan, and the chasan says, okay, here, how about this? Let's call it even. You don't have to pay me back. And with that mechila, by pardoning you for your loan, that will be my kesa kedushin. So that's one case. But some unfortunately that doesn't work. But if right now I accept upon myself a new obligation as the kesa kedushin, that might work. But some Rishonim say that doesn't work, that just accepting a chov upon yourself is not kesa kedushin. It doesn't work. You're not paying for anything. There's nothing. It's a much bigger argument. So if you disagree, if you think it's not, you'll have to say is that in some way, paying in this situation, when it's agreed upon by the mocher, paying for part of the land ends up being a kinyan on the whole land. And you could either say that maybe kinyan kesef can even work for a partial Kinyan Kesef when it's agreed upon. Or maybe it's at this point, as suggested in Seder, that maybe what you're saying is that I'm essentially selling it to you for 200 zuz, and that's the price, and it's sold for the whole property, and you're accepting upon yourself a separate obligation. So that's just in terms of how this mechanism works, so how partially paying for the field would be sufficient. So you have those different perspectives. That is part A. Part B is also a very, very complicated and multi-layered sugya, is this idea of I have enough ikazuze. What exactly is happening? Why is that a sufficient retraction of a kinyan? Why is it that when the lokeach one question is, what is the logic behind it? Why is it that when the mocher bothers the lokeach for the rest of the money, that it isn't a sale? Number two, a question would be, is what is the scope of that halacha? Does that apply to all kinyanim? Again, this is a particular case. I partially paid for a karka, for a property. I only paid partially. The rest of it is supposed to be a loan. And then the mocher says, I want the money right now. So there you could argue that, okay, he wasn't satisfied with you only paying for part of it. However, what about another case? What about a case where it's not that I'm paying for part of it? Let's say I'm not paying for any of it, but I do a kinyan. So let's say I agree to buy a product from your store, like, I don't know, a shovel or something like that. You're a shovel salesman, I buy your shovel, and I don't pay you yet, but I took the shovel, and that's a kinyan. So what if the mocher then says, where's the money for the shovel, where's the money for the shovel, is that also going to retract it? So that's also an interesting question. So here, and then another simple question. So again, what is the, these are all questions that are very important, and there are many opinions for each. What is the idea behind Avnabek Azuzay? When does it work, and what does it practically look like? Do I have to ask you for the money right away? Do I have to bother you twice that day? What if, you know, I wait till later? Does it matter? Is this apply to any property? Does it have to be clear that I specifically want this type of property? So these are all interesting questions. So let's start with the Svara first. Rashi and the Ravid both seem to say that essentially what's happening is that it's almost like a mekach toos. That the case is, a person needed money, a lot of money, and he needed it soon because of his dire financial situation. He needs, and he had this valuable property, and he needed to liquidate it in order to pay his debts, and or use it to buy something or something like that. So he needs the money right now. He sold it to you, assuming that you were going to provide him with the cash, which he needs in order to, you know, to settle his debts and the like. And you didn't. You didn't give him that cash. So now, essentially, what we're saying is he's revealing that this whole sale was made with a different condition in mind. And therefore, now that that condition hasn't been satisfied, there is no sale at all, right? So it's essentially, what you're essentially doing is showing that you're not, you were never interested in selling the property in such a situation. That is one perspective. And I think it's probably a simple way of explaining it. If you look at the continuation of the Gemara is bothered. Well, what if I have this field that's more valuable and I could have sold a less valuable field, but I didn't try hard enough, so I sold this more valuable field and now I want the money. So do we apply this ability to retract in that situation also? Or do we say, you know, if you really, really were so upset about selling your expensive field and you needed the money right away, you could have found a less expensive field to sell. It shows that you weren't so persistent about getting the funds and you did want to. It lends itself to this idea. It's almost like and the Rush actually says this, it's almost like the judge has to sort of analyze when the person sold this field, was it clear that he was only doing it because he needed the money right away, or no, he actually truly wanted to sell it. However, the Ramban has argued that maybe it's not that when it's opened up like a zuze, there's a deficiency in terms of my intention to sell it. But what you're basically saying is that you're almost, even though karka generally is a niknes through other methods, meaning I can acquire property without paying for it, either by picking it up or doing a chazaka or giving you a shtar. When he wants the zuze, what he's essentially saying is you will need to do a kinyan kesef on this karka as well, right? And therefore, it's not simply that I didn't intend to sell it in this situation. It's not merely a chisaron in das makne, it's a chisaron in the maisa kinyan. Essentially, the mocher is arguing that in this case, I want money also. So getting to the second point, and these are all related. So there's a bit, the big machlokas in this sugya is about whether or not when you are eyeing off a kazuze, does that have the power to retract a full kinyan? So the Baal Maor has this line where he says that this whole Gemara, if we're talking about karka, right, where essentially we have our unique case, where you pay for some of it and not all of it, and kesef is a kinyan by karka, but you didn't pay for the whole karka, so that's when ayavanafek azuze will be effective to make the kinyan null and void. However, if we're talking about metaltalin, where paying the guy for half of it isn't effective anyway, so essentially what do you have to do to be kone the object, you'll have to make a maisa kinyan on it. You'll have to do mishicha or hagbah or something like that. So he says, I of a nafik azuze is not powerful enough to retract that. If I pick up your object, or even if it's karka and I do a full kinyan chazaka on it, I didn't just pay you for some of it, I did a full maisa kinyan, I of a nafik azuze doesn't work. That's a kinyan. The Rabban and many of them Farshim very, very enthusiastic are they argue and they say no. Ayav nafek azuze means based on this Gemara that you can fully retract a kinyan, whether or not it is a case of karka that you're partially paying for, or it is a movable object that you are selling, and there is a maisa kinyan. Ayav nafek azuze is sufficient to fully retract that. So it would seem from the Baal Maor that he is severely limiting the scope of Ayav Nafek Azuze. He says that if I actually did, what's really at stake here is simply Mishapara, right? How angry are we at the Mocher for retracting? And if he makes it clear, because generally if Kesef is paid for, and even though generally when the Lokeach pays money for an object, he isn't kona that object, but the chazal say that when the mocher retracts, it's very bad. It's unethical, and he gets a curse. So all the Gemara is saying here is that if I was very clear that, you know, I really wanted the entirety of the money, and you're not giving it to me, so you can't be so angry at the mocher. It's an ethical question of, you know, did you do something really bad by not being chozer? However, to say that it can really reverse a full kinyon, we're not going to say. That's the Baal Maor says. So it would seem from the Baal Maor that, you know, a kinyon is a kinyon is a kinyon. You know, this idea of Ivanov Gazuze, going back into what the Mocher was thinking and, you know, how important the Kesef was to him, is not something that we can really take into account. You know, whatever you were thinking, that's fine. Unless you explicate it or make it snai, and you say, I am only selling this because I want the money, it's not going to help once the kinyan is made, right? The Ramban and others, they disagree, and they say that retracting Ayav Nafek Azuze is essentially an effective way of showing that this was not actually a kinyan, right? They give more power to the mocher, either to dictate that his intention wasn't to sell it in such a situation, or to dictate that he in this case, wants a kinyan kesef as well as a kinyan chazaka or a kinyan shtar and the like. So that's one big issue here, the efficacy of av nafka zuze. Another, I think the other big issue is what av nafka zuze means and when it applies. So here we have another machlokas pina rabbeinu Chananel and the Ravid, as to when we say av nafka zuze or what it looks like. Rabbeinu Chananel has a very strict definition. Right, and it sounds like that you need to bug the guy right away. You need to say, I need my money. It's got to be that day. You can't wait. And you have to actually bother him. And the Gra stipulates that, you know, you don't actually have to find him. If he runs away and you try to get him the money, that also works. But it's really very limited. Essentially, I don't think this is an exception. The rule is that if you do a kinyan, or even a partial kinyan on the karka, that is a kinyan, you really have to go out of your way to show that, no, that I really didn't want to sell it if I wasn't going to get the money. The Ravid is much more expansive. The Ravid says that even if you give the guy some time to pay, and it comes a day, so I sold you a field, I said you could pay me in 30 days. So, comes day 30. And now I knock your door and you say, okay, time to pay up. And you don't have the money. You say, okay, I'll pay you tomorrow. You say, no, I gave you 30 days. And today is day 30. And now I want my money. Even that would be sufficient to destroy this kinyan. So the Ravid really expands the... does two things. Number one, he expands the strength of the mocher. The mocher really has a lot more time to dictate that he wants his money back. And essentially, I think what you could argue is the more you think, there is this part of what this question is getting at, I would say, I mean, with this going to conclude, is that there is this unique area of halacha where you can acquire something without kesef, right? Where I could do a kinyan without paying for the value of the object, without paying the agreed-upon price. Now, that's very interesting. On the one hand, kinyanim work, right? They're sort of these formal actions which demonstrate the willingness of the lokeach and the mocher to go through with the sale. On the other hand, practically, people want their money. And the question is, how far do we take this that you can acquire an object without paying for it? The more you think that Isle of the Nafik Azuze is applicable and you don't need to bug the guy right away, and it could even be 30 days later, and it's even going to apply to Metaltalin or Karka. And, you know, so then what you're essentially saying is that no, that this idea that you can that you don't need Kesa to be Kona something is really limited. And that's sort of, if it's clear that that's what the Mocher and the Lokeach want. But the Mocher has the opportunity to say, no, the kinyan isn't sufficient. I want money. In order to acquire this property, I want kesef. Okay, so those are some of the issues. It's a really big sugya, and there are many different discussions as to what it looks like and what type of property and what happens. Lokeach is chozer, the Mocher is chozer. But so in summary, we spoke about just to sort of give a brief synopsis, we began talking about in a case where you're only going to get some of the property is when I pay for part of it and that's all I'm getting, is that a kinyan, and or is that not a kinyan, it's just a knas and whatever is chozer. The second thing we talked about was in this case where I'm getting the whole field, we discussed two perspectives on how that works, how can a partial payment be kona an entire property, and third, how does this idea of Isle of Anafik Azuze work and when does it apply, when doesn't it apply? All right.
I don't necessarily see the Ravid as disagreeing with Rabbeinu Chananel.